Why do werewolves love the moon? Is that where they're originally from? If money doesn't grow on trees, why are we planting so many of the damn things? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! Hello everyone and welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week we investigate a brand new paranormal tale and finally put it to rest. Once we have covered it, it is done. It is hammered, sealed in a wooden crate, and stored away until the end of time. And then we move on to the next one. Welcome back to This Paranormal Life. My name is Roy Powers. My associate sitting across from me is Kit Greer Mulvena.
Namaste.
And we are here today to bring you a brand new paranormal tale you've never heard before, and actually one that Kit has never heard before, but I have researched meticulously. And I will bring to life today, and we can all collectively decide whether we put this one in the grave.
Yeah, if you're not watching this, Roy just did a gun symbol.
Yeah, well, don't say it. You know, you don't have to say the symbols that I do with my hands.
Get us demonetized off YouTube.
Well, hey, Kit, before we dive into today's case, speaking of guns, we're coming to America!
Whoa!
Whoa! That's right! This Paranormal Life is coming on tour in August. To New York, Chicago, Boston, Toronto, San Francisco, LA. I'm doing these in a random order.
Philadelphia. Dallas,
Texas.
Atlanta,
and Colorado.
Denver.
Yeah, really.
To be specific.
Really excited. We can't wait. We've been planning the tour over the last couple of weeks. It's been a long time since we've been back in the States. So you know what time it is for you guys? It's time to buy your tickets.
We've done this before. You are in safe hands, my friend. Maybe you're listening to this and you've never been to a live podcast. You're thinking,
yeah,
well, I get it here every week anyway. What do I really need to listen for? One, bad attitude, okay? Because it's not recorded for release necessarily. So
yeah.
You will only hear it if you are in the room with us, very likely.
Last tour, because we wanted to make it a special occasion. The show was all offline, so I used it as a platform to finally tell the audience the story about the Dublin Gorilla Man.
Yeah.
This tour, we're doing something equally intimate. Kit's telling us about the time he lost his virginity.
Huh?
So, because we want to be able to have a moment that we can share intimately with our fans that
well,
stays
really,
in the room. So it's
really
kind of like
sharing that.
I exposed myself mentally.
Yeah.
Last time we were out there. So Kit's going to talk about the first time he exposed himself physically. Penally.
See, I'd like to keep... It's just funny you talk about how, like, you know, share like an intimate moment between people. And I think that should stay between me and my aunt. Sorry, did I say that? So the tour is August. Starts August.
Yeah. You barely remember it as well because it was like, what, 4-5 years ago you lost your virginity? So it's like... It's a long time.
If you want to hear that story, hey, I'll do anything to sell tickets. So thisparanormallife.com.
There you go.
Thisparanormallife.com. I'll tell you, that's the headline. I'll tell you whatever you want to know. Thisparanormallife.com/tour to get your tickets to This Paranormal Life live this year. Check out all the dates. I don't know if we reliably remembered all the dates up top, but there's about 10 of them across US and Canada this August.
I remember the last time we went on tour and we were working with a PR company and they asked us both for quotes to help kind of promote the show. One of my quotes was something like, this will be the most exciting moment of your life, just like losing your virginity.
Okay.
Except this time it won't be filmed and it'll last more than 30 seconds. I remember I said, and it's the same amount of dudes in the room. They never use that quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unusable. Quite, it's a funny joke, but like quite long as well.
Yeah, and they're like, we need something for like a poster.
Yeah,
like,
tour de force performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something.
But that's enough chat at the start of the episode. We have a great paranormal investigation ahead of us today. Actually, a listener submission from Cubits Fitters. Who sounds like
sure.
A British wizard who emailed into the podcast. So, Cubits, we are going to investigate your case right now.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Today we're journeying to Carbondale, a small mining city in Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania.
I feel like I want to ask more questions about the name Qubits.
No, there's no
Qubits.
Time.
Qubits.
I assume that's an alias because he doesn't want to give us his real.
I thought that's what quantum computers ran on. Qubits?
Qubits Fitters is his name. Carbondale is a city known for a lot of interesting things. Some good, some bad. An example of the good, it was once a major terminal of the Delaware Hudson Railroad.
I feel like there's not a ton of good. If that's our first right off top of mind.
An example of the bad. It was also home to a mine fire, which burned from 1946 to the early 1970s.
Uh-huh.
So around 25 years of fire.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, a fire that burned for 25 years isn't the strangest thing that happened in Carbondale. Because one night in 1974... a mysterious object crashed into the city and created a paranormal mystery that lasted for years. It's November 9th, 1974, and a group of teenage boys were wandering around Russell Park as the sun set behind the mountains. One of the boys, a 14-year-old named Robert Gillett Jr., pointed up to the sky. "Oh my God! What is that thing?" A red whirring ball streaked across the night sky, flying over Salem Mountain and stopping briefly in midair before jetting downward and crashing into an old mine pond. The boys ran over and watched as the water in the pond began to boil, illuminated with the red glow of whatever was now at the bottom. Now, at this point, Carbondale was a sleepy old town, not a ton going on. So if you're a kid that sees a Death Star laser beam shoot out of the sky and light up a pond, you're going to want to tell everyone that you know. Similar to us, Kit, we grew up in a small town right here in Port Stewart in Ireland. Recently, a dead whale washed up on the beach.
It did.
I had friends I haven't talked to in years call me and ask if I'd seen the whale. That's how little there is going on. The way they talked about this whale, you would think it was so large Geppetto was inside.
I was one of the friends. It was a pretty big deal.
Kit.
It was a big whale.
Yeah. I actually called my mom because we had a family member who was ill and I was asking if she was okay. And she went, yeah. Have you heard about the whale? And I was like, yeah.
Come on. This is charming. This is the kind of, in today's 24-hour TikTok news cycle, This is what I want to hear more of, is a little local rumor, you know? I just want to hear a grassroots, organic, offline, that the postman is banging some guy's wife.
Okay.
I want to hear that rumor.
You're not going to hear that today.
That goes around the town. Or did you hear about the whale? The what? Yeah. You're not going to be able to read about it on TikTok. Pretty small mink whale.
Well, how about this? How about a small local rumor about an object that crashed into a pond? That's what we're dealing with today. Immediately, these boys began telling everyone they knew what they had seen. And before they knew it, the entire town was out by the pond, trying to see if they could make out what had just landed in Carbondale. Among the crowd were police officers, who you'd think wouldn't respond to a silly call like this. But allegedly, that same night, Carbondale police received several calls concerning a mysterious object falling from the sky. When the calls started rolling in, the police department quickly gathered officers to head down to the site. And among them, a young freelance photographer named Jerome Gillett. Jerome's father was a police officer, so he often hung out at the Carbondale police station, hoping to get a ride along and take some interesting pictures. And tonight, he'd take the most interesting photograph of his entire life. By the time the police arrived on the scene, it was about 9 p.m., and still they could spot a glowing light beaming through the murky water of the pond. Jerome set up his camera and tripod to take some long exposure photos of the glowing pond. And Kit, I have those photos right here today.
Let's see them. Serve them up. I'm hungry.
Check this out.
Yes, yes, yes. That is exactly what it is. Yep. It is a black and white photo, surface of a lake, light pouring through. Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, really cool.
It is black and white, so you can't really tell about the color or how strong the light is, but you can see it there glowing in the lake. It is pretty cool to have a photo of this.
Yeah.
Kit doesn't seem happy about it, but...
It's a black and white image of a light underwater, so it's basically a white smudge is what it is. But
the first one's a white smudge. The second one, you can see trees, but so you can actually...
Well, you didn't scroll down on that one.
Well, you can see... There you go. Look, trees and the light and pond water and stuff, so...
I actually understand less what's happening here. Why is there a light by the trees?
I don't know, man. It's a paranormal event. Weird shit happens.
All right, well, I'm starting to understand why you didn't show me the second one. You're pretty dismissive when I asked one question about it.
Things started getting a little chaotic at the pond. Some witnesses reported that at one point, a panicked officer took out his gun and fired randomly into the water.
Jesus, man.
But official police report says apparently no shots were fired by anyone. If you ask the locals, they're like, that's absolutely not true. A guy unloaded into the pond. Which immediately, I think, take that gun off him.
He did that thing where the cowboys, they like flick the hammer back on the gun over and over.
Next to arrive on the scene was the fire department. And the fire department are great because I feel like in a lot of small cities that don't have full public services, the fire department just get called out to fill the gaps of anything.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, in our hometown, they called the fire department for the whale.
I might have done that, yeah. I might have called them.
Well, the fire department showed up with a small boat and pushed themselves out into the pond to try and retrieve the still glowing light. But it proved trickier than they thought. At one point, they thought they had it hooked on a snare, but before they could raise it out of the water, it seemed to move away from the boat across the pond.
God damn it, Frank, get this thing on the line.
What do you want me to do, put a worm on it? I don't even know what the f*** I'm trying to catch down here. Before the men could try and fish the object out again, the crowd watched as the mysterious light finally faded out into darkness. Kit, what are you doing in this situation? Are you leaving? Are you going home? Or are you diving into this pond to find out what you got down there?
Yeah, I'm not diving in. I mean, you said the water was boiling.
At one point it was boiling. But the light's out now.
Oh, so it's safe.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm not really... I'm a decent swimmer. I don't know if I'm going through pond muck.
Yeah.
You know, surviving that dive all the way down to the bottom. Is it radioactive? I don't know these things.
Yeah.
But if we've established anything, though, with the whale incident, I am along for the local ride. So probably pulling up a camp chair and getting some salted pistachios or something, some other snack, and just kind of settling in for the long run.
Honestly, this would be an exciting day in Carbondale. I mean, you got to get the truck with the beer cooler ready to go. Maybe get some hot dogs on the grill. Just settle in. Bring some tents, because this is going to be one of the most exciting things that probably happens in this small town. At this point, the light was gone. The night was over. Local police dispersed the crowd and hoped that everything would go back to normal tomorrow. But this legend was just getting started. Sunday, November 10th, the very next day, police went back to check up on the pond and could barely even reach it through the crowds. The story had quickly reached local media outlets and even national news networks.
Police received an anonymous phone call that an unidentified flying object seen in the sky had splashed into the pond. After receiving several similar calls, police responded to the scene. The light illuminated for 9 hours.
Word spread fast that the city of Carbondale was now the site of a UFO crash.
Yeah. Once people get that into their heads, it's going to be hard to get that out of their heads.
Oh, yeah. Here come the nut jobs.
I mean,
AKA Rory and Kit.
Right.
We're going to be showing up 8 a.m., glizzies on the grill, tinfoil hats on, ready to investigate the paranormal. I am unloading an AK-47 into the pond
so
to try and get this thing done.
Yeah, I was going to say, slightly premature to just kind of abandon the lake just because the light went out. It's like, right, but it's a closed water system, it kind of seems like.
Yeah.
It seems like whatever was in there is still down there. There's still a mystery to be unfolded.
Yeah, I think maybe the police don't care and assumed if the light was gone, maybe the locals wouldn't care either, hoping it would all kind of die down. Obviously, not the case. And let me tell you, this claim about a UFO crash was taken very seriously because it wasn't long before the city of Carbondale was visited by the Civil Air Patrol. Okay, not exactly the CIA or the MIBs, but still an escalation, I would say. I actually didn't know what the Civil Air Patrol even do, but looking it up, apparently they conduct 90% of inland search and rescue in the US.
Okay, that makes sense.
Search and rescue? I assume what you're trying to tell me is there's a little guy down there.
No, I don't
that
think
that needs
that's what...
searched for and rescued.
I mean, anything's possible, but I gather that this is more like you get stuck climbing a mountain and they're the people who ride the helicopter up to get you.
Right, right. Or there's a little man called Zonktar at the bottom of a pond.
Sure.
And he can only breathe for 3 days before he needs to be rescued, okay? That's what I assume. The acting chief of police, Chief Doddle, tried to explain that the Civil Air Patrol were in the town because so many people had arrived in the city that he needed help to manage the traffic.
Hmm.
But managing traffic? That sounds like a fire department job to me, bud.
Can we turn the noise Rory made earlier into like a repeatable sound effect for just when we want to air skepticism on the show? The CAP comes in and you want us to believe everything's hunky-dory.
That sounds like CRAP to me, buddy. To make matters even more interesting, word leaked to the public that the police had been spending a considerable amount of time talking with officials from both NASA and NORAD.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Everything. I'm turning into one of the policemen. Everything's under control. Calm down. Go home. You, sir, stop tailgating. This isn't a Grateful Dead concert.
The pond water has transformed into Nickelodeon slime. It's bubbling like a witch's cauldron. I've said disperse. Disperse. It's coming out of the f-ing water. Boom, 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 boom.
It's like 24 kind of flubber-esque creatures walking out of the slime. Boing, boing, boinging around the place. It's possible and plausible that NASA and NORAD would be involved at this stage because if this was a meteorite or some other piece of space debris,
sure,
this is still of just scientific interest to them. We don't know yet whether it's humanoid, whether it comes in peace or not.
Yeah.
But it could just be this is just an awesome chunk of space ore.
Could be.
That they want to get their mitts on.
Which, you know, might not be that crazy. You know, entering the Earth's atmosphere generates an incredible amount of heat. It could be an object that came out of the sky, still glowing red, boiled the water because of the heat, and gradually kind of cooled off in the pond water.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Could be. Or that could be the burning exhaust of an alien spacecraft. We just don't know yet. We need to find out. I actually have a photocopy of a newspaper article that was released at the time, titled
"Veil of Secrecy Kept on Report of Area UFO." Carbondale police clamped a lid of secrecy around Russell Park area early this morning after persons reported seeing strange lights in the area, possibly from a UFO-type object. The entire site off Park Street has been blocked by police, who refused to allow the news media near an old abandoned coal breaker by the park. A call was made to Forest City Police for Geiger counters at 1:30 a.m. this morning. Carbondale officials also reportedly were in touch by phone with the government UFO Information Center in the Midwest. Police say they would issue a statement on the investigation early this morning.
At this point, Chief Doddle knew there was only one way to get answers and to shut this case down once and for all. They had to retrieve this thing from the lake. So the next day, Monday, November 11th, Chief Doddle called in, you guessed it, the fire department.
No way. Yeah. This isn't their domain. This is water.
Well, it kind of is, Kit, because he recruited the fire department to literally pump all of the water from the pond so they could grab the object.
Wow. Yeah, that's how I know I'm dumb, because I was like, they have a ladder. I guess the ladder could go down.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Into the pond.
However, after trying this for a short period of time, they realized it wasn't an option. There was too much debris and weird pond shit that was clogging up the pump, so they had to abandon the plan. At this point, attempting to retrieve the object seemed futile, until a man stepped forward from the crowd, head to toe in scuba gear.
Maybe I can be of assistance.
Who the hell is Cupid, sir? At your disposal.
The diver was from Binghamton in New York. He had heard the news reports about the object and decided to drive all the way to Carbondale with his gear. Chief Doddle and the locals were kind of out of options, so they gave the go-ahead, and this diver launched himself into the pond. Of course, by this point, the light was out, and the muddy pond water made it hard to see even 2 feet deep. But still, he dived. The crowd watched patiently as he resurfaced multiple times, empty-handed, until one dive, where they watched bubbles soar up to the top of the lake, the shadowy outline of the diver looking larger this time as he rapidly approached the surface of the water. The crowd held their breath with anticipation as the man reached the surface holding an electric railroad lantern.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a little disappointing.
A little disappointing, I got to admit. Yeah. When I reached this point in the story, I kind of decided to hit Control, All, and Delete and start again. But luckily, Kit, I kept reading because there may be more to this story than we think.
Because we kind of spent like 30 minutes teeing up that it's a UFO.
Right.
Hey, a second ago, you were like, there's a guy.
I might have got a little carried away at one point.
CAP was having to rescue him.
Yeah. Yeah, which we don't know. That's still a theory.
It's also railroad light. So that didn't even come from space, actually.
Well,
it's not even debris from a satellite. At least that would be sexy.
Well, hey, isn't that a little strange, Kit, that people called in saying that they saw something jetting across the sky? And what do we find? A railroad light.
Yeah.
That didn't, you said it yourself, that didn't come from the sky.
See, they're just totally unconnected then.
Something here doesn't add up.
For sure.
Yeah. You got something you want to say, man? Clearly. You know?
Did Cupid's find anything else? Cupid's, can you go back down? Can you keep looking? Hopefully that was just an old railroad light.
He comes up with a glowing red railroad light and the crowd's like, wow. What's that doing down there? Any sign of the object?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I think this probably is it. No, I don't think so. I think we're looking for like a little ship, like a saucer or something like that. He's like, I'm not going back down.
Yeah, I mean, if this happened, the police would have to be very f***ing mad at the local railroad, depot. I'd just be like, you guys didn't think to tell us you lost a giant light.
A huge lantern.
The week that everyone's freaking out, half the f***ing state has turned out to see the light.
Yeah.
Next to the railroad.
Maybe at this point, if you're a cop, though, you're just so happy this is over with.
Right.
You're like, we got an explanation. Great. Look at it. Everyone, look, go home. This is what it was. I think we actually do have a recording from, I believe, Police Chief Doddle explaining to the crowd that they have found a railroad light and everyone can go back home.
Those of you who are at the scene have gathered by now that we found nothing to substantiate the alleged UFO sighting as anything other than what appears to be a hoax. The flashlight was found by scuba divers, and we have every reason to believe this was the object which caused the concern.
So there you go. Police almost suspiciously keen to wrap up this story and disperse the crowds, I would say.
It seems totally plausible and kind of
open-minded. Hey, you're telling me that a diver showed up out of nowhere with scuba gear and was like, oh yeah, I can go down. He was probably on the boat and they were like, okay, he's going to dive now. Here's the lantern. Go down with the lantern and come up and see.
Hey, buddy, what do you say your name was again? My name. My My Christian name or your full name? My name is Mr. Fitters. First name Kiyomash. Kiyomash.
Cubit. Sorry, what was that?
Kiyomash.
Just give him a normal name, please.
It's really hot inside this room. Kiyomash. Cubits. Kiyomash.
Police chief is like, no one here even knows what your real name is. Just use that. Cubits. Fitters the Third is my name. And now I shall dive down with the railroad light. No, don't say you have the light. Sorry.
You're like a British lord or something. That's right. I am a lord. Stop. You're digging such a big hole for yourself.
My father and grandfather passed away in a scuba accident. Now I scuba in their memory. Diving forever to try and retrieve their bones. It's like, this is so much backstory. We really didn't need this.
What was your father's name? Scuba Dooba Doo.
Oh, Scuba Dooba Doo, where are you? They just push him in the water. Get the f*** down there. Look, let's just get to the point right here. Was this whole thing really just a railroad lantern?
Because the policeman said it was a hoax.
He said it was a hoax.
Yes, he said it was a hoax. That's what he thinks.
But as I said, I want to remind everyone, the same night the boys saw the glowing object hit the pond, the police apparently did get calls from locals about seeing a strange object in the sky. Not only that, but the interest from NASA, the arrival of the search and rescue teams, something wasn't adding up, and the locals knew it. I can tell Kit is smiling ear to ear. That is how much he's enjoying today's case.
I am enjoying it.
I know that he's excited to hear what happens next. Years later, a Carbondale teenager at the time, Kay Pope, recalled seeing military-style flatbeds near the site of the crash. She said, quote, "I saw a big flatbed truck on the road with something huge on it that was covered, and there were a lot of people in military uniforms." And she's not the only one. Savakinus, another...
All right, that's call time.
I knew you were going to have a problem with Savakinus.
The straw that broke the camel's back. All right, so first we've got Cubits Fittersley. Fitters.
That's a listener of our podcast. They're not from Carbondale.
Then, it's ridiculous. Then...
Savakinus is actually a really sick name.
And then so. K-Pope. You're trying to make me believe that there's a child called K-Pope.
Your name is Kit Greer Mulvena, all right? I wouldn't throw stones in glass houses.
Perfectly normal name. You're trying to tell me that Savakinus?
Savakinus.
You can't tell me that my name is more out there than Savakinus.
Maybe I'm pronouncing it
K-Pope.
Wrong.
Or K-Pope.
It could be Savakinus. Savakinus? I don't know. But it's another Carbondale resident who said, something was in the sky. Something was bright, something fell in the pond. And when asked about the military truck, they said that the flatbed had a tarp-covered object and strangely didn't leave Russell Park from its public entrance, but instead took a back road out.
See, this is that small town shit, Roy, because these motherfuckers bored. These motherfuckers nothing going on. These motherfuckers are... spouting rumors, speculation about everything, and they see everything, okay? You know, this is, it's a internal economy of information. You know, the little kid sees something down the alleyway, he runs around the corner, tells it to his uncle, who tells it to the and before you know it, everyone knows.
Exactly. I'm sure back here there were rumors in the pub that was like, I heard the president arrived to take a look at the whale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the whale was lifted on a Chinook helicopter to Area 51 for examination. It's like, you really believe that was a whale? That was an alien cloaking device put on top of a gigantor.
Yeah.
You know? We just don't know. Well, when asked about the case, UFO researcher Bill Weber from MUFON said, I think the jury is still out on this one. Which is about as good as I think we're going to get in today's UFO case. I mean, Kit, you are essentially a professional UFO investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Based off the information you have so far in the case, do you think the jury's still out on this one?
I think that is a generous interpretation of what we have. Because what do we have? What do we have? Let's talk about what we do have.
Yeah, we've got a lot of crazy shit.
We've got...
I don't want to put words in Kit's mouth, but...
Let's so don't.
Extraterrestrial technology?
No. We're actually extremely far from that, I think.
You know, again, not to put words in your mouth, but...
That's not.
Double yes, no. I think, maybe.
And we're, you know, we were really far from ET technology.
Yeah. Oh, that's
we're
cool.
We're in another f-ing galaxy from a double yes right now, okay? What? Just at the time... Just, hey, don't shoot the messenger. Just at the time of speaking right now.
You're starting to look like right a now. Pond to me, buddy, if you catch my drift.
Because I'm going to light you up.
What do you... Nice. That was good. What do you need today? What do you need? How can I get you there?
I just need to...
I get you off? That's what I want to know. Being a paranormal investigator...
A morsel of evidence,
You have to listen to your partner, all right? You have to know what they need.
Right,
listen to their needs.
Stop.
If there was another object that was down there in the pond, I think we just heard what happened to it. It left under a tarp on the back of a military truck. Coincidentally, probably the same day they found the lantern.
Yeah.
This is a classic case of it's a weather balloon, all right? Do you remember when we were investigating the Roswell, New Mexico alien crash?
Mm-hmm.
And we reach a point in that case where the military come out and they're like, hey, it was a weather balloon. Look at all the pieces of it. And there's the famous photo of the guy sitting in front of all the bits of the craft.
Yeah.
And multiple witnesses came forward and said, none of that shit was what crashed in Roswell.
Right.
They're showing you something completely different. They're pulling some magician switcheroo shit on you, you know? And could that be what's happening today? They come out with the lantern. Hey, we got it. Look, everyone. Look over here. It's the lantern. And in the background, there's like tentacles protruding from an alien
back
truck.
Back of a truck.
Oh, no, no. Hey, look. I can turn it on.
Stand
turn it off.
Clear. Vehicle reversing.
Stand clear. Redacted top secret military truck reversing. They're jingling it like keys in front of a baby trying to keep their attention.
That is possible. Yeah. That is certainly possible. Okay. One thing that I have an issue with. Is if something was coming down at the velocity and size at which we are all collectively imagining in our brains, this would cause quite a lot of devastation to the area. We see this with space objects all the time. That if people don't know this, did you know? You know, a piece of matter burning up in the atmosphere that looks like a fireball, very briefly.
Yeah.
That is something, that is a, we're talking about apparently a piece of debris, potentially as small as a grain of sand or a tiny, tiny, tiny pebble, something that size entering the atmosphere would burn up. And so the times in history when we've seen something large crash landing from space, that causes enormous devastation. We're talking like Tunguska event destroying an entire forest.
Yeah.
So even, we don't know the speed that it came in at. We heard a little bit of a description of what it looked like coming down. But even something the size of, I don't know, a computer printer would
decimate North America.
Well, it would probably like, did this really just plop perfectly into the lake?
Yeah.
You know,
it's a pond, by the way. It's not a lake.
Yeah, the pond.
The pond is pretty small.
I mean, it's cool, the detail about the bubbling and the boiling water.
Yeah.
But I would have thought like dispersed water over a huge area, borderline drying the thing out. Or would it have crash landed just next to it and then gone into the pond? You know what I mean? It seems very neat for something to crash land. This is the UFO equivalent of, you know, the circus act where a guy dives into like a tiny
a thimble
yeah, of water. Yeah.
Well, hey, if you remember from the original description of when this thing came down, it paused briefly in the air.
Yeah, I do remember, yeah.
I don't think this is something jetting through the Earth's atmosphere like a fireball and colliding with the planet. I think if this thing is extraterrestrial, it's moving in an unconventional way. We didn't see the quote-unquote plop, as Kate called it, because maybe this thing did move much more gracefully and then fall into the pond, similar to kind of like a drone would.
Unfortunately for me as well, in modern USO sightings in UFOs that go underneath the ocean in what is called unidentified submerged objects,
yeah.
There's also videos that appear to show no friction when these crafts enter the water. There
yeah.
doesn't seem to be any splash, any resistance. They just kind of freely flow into them.
Which is really scary to yeah. see. Also, these guys are aliens. You know, as you said, it's a
for sure. Which is the next thing I was going to say.
It's a big thing that they hide in the ocean. That's something that we've read about and talked about a lot. They don't know what an ocean is. They don't know what a lake and a pond and a river is. It's just water. Maybe this little guy's like, there's a little ocean. Let's go in there. Shoop. He goes inside.
Yeah, he didn't think it was the ocean.
He might have. I don't know. It doesn't mean anything to them. We invented that word. So maybe he thinks he's hiding his little craft submerged down there in the smallest ocean he's ever seen.
That trips me out. You know, I heard someone say it was like Stephen Hawking or some shit. He said that one time. He was like, well, water is the same everywhere in the universe. So even aliens would be like, yeah, that's the ocean. They know exactly. He actually went as far to say he was like, life on other planets that's underwater could end up looking very similar to life in our oceans.
Wow.
Because water is the same everywhere.
That means that there's a good chance if we find life in the universe, it also surfs, which is pretty cool.
Right.
Like everyone has an ocean.
Yeah. And like there's a good chance if you go to, you know, the Gonktar planet and Andromeda 5, they also have like California rolls.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And like tuna sashimi.
They probably have Corona.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Living a bit of beach life. Yeah. I remember one of the last times I got incredibly high and I think we had an edible and I didn't think that it really kicked in. You know, you're kind of disappointed and you go to bed. And then in the morning, you realize that you were incredibly high and just didn't realize at the time because I spent several hours watching YouTube videos that just simulated what it would look like to fall into a planet in our galaxy.
Got it.
So it would be like POV, you fall into Jupiter.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it just goes from being like out of the atmosphere to like flying in. It shows you the distance you are from the surface. And I just watched these full screen for about 2 hours. Because
they're pretty long, I'm guessing. Dude, as well.
They're so long, but they are f***ing wild. Because some of them are like, you hit the ocean. And then they're like, yeah, you have to go for like thousands of miles before you can hit the surface. Insane. Or you're going through like gas, or it's very trippy.
Yeah.
So cool to know that some of these guys do have oceans.
They know what a pond is.
They know what a pond is.
Kind of.
Yeah. This could be an intentional maneuver. Well, to this day, locals in the town believe that the lantern was merely a distraction, that something else crashed into the pond, and for whatever reason, the government was trying to cover it up. Some believe it was a spy satellite, others suggest it was some kind of military test gone wrong, and of course, the most popular theory that we're talking about today, that this thing was extraterrestrial. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Kit, but I feel like I've got you pretty close to giving it a double yes. So, I should probably end the episode right here. But as a paranormal investigator, we do have an obligation to disclose all information in a case, including the fact that 25 years later, one of the teenagers who first reported the UFO, Robert, he said he threw a railroad lantern into a pond.
You really let me talk about how USOs don't create friction with water. When they enter the water, you really thought that was funny?
However,
let me talk about that for like 20 minutes.
However, years later, Robert himself began to question the official narrative.
F*** you, Robert.
Saying, quote, it wasn't a lantern.
Yeah.
Something was pulled out of the pond. Robert said he just said what they wanted him to say.
I'm going to put him in a pond. I'm going to put him in the pond.
To this day, no one knows what really happened. Unless it was a lantern.
We know what happened.
No,
he
we don't.
Said what happened.
No, we don't.
He said.
Because Robert has also come forward and said, I just said that because that's what they wanted me to say. It wasn't a lantern.
Oh, what an asshole.
And I think Robert is maybe now dead. So we can't, unfortunately, ask him any more questions.
I didn't mean that in a good way. Just, you know what I'm saying.
And to this day in Carbondale, there is a large population that still believe something paranormal happened. It wasn't just the lantern.
Yeah, but that's like, there's a lot of people who believe Scientology too, even though the guy who invented it wrote a bunch of science fiction books as well. He's the guy who invented Scientology has also written the most science fiction books, more than anyone else on Earth.
That's not a good sign.
He's written more books, I believe, than anyone else on Earth.
Yeah.
In history.
That's like if you're if your pastor at your church wrote a book on how to scam people.
Yeah.
Or if he also had his own cryptocurrency. You're like, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You know, this feels like a bad thing to combine together. Yes, despite there being a possible logical explanation for this, the story of the Carbondale UFO has become a huge part of this city's history and culture in an incredibly fun way. For example, last year, I believe, was the 50th anniversary of the event.
The 50th anniversary of Robert throwing a railroad light into the well.
It wasn't a railroad light.
It quite literally was.
They found a railroad light.
They pulled it out.
They found a railroad light, okay? But that doesn't mean that's what it was.
We're getting...
Right? If I drop my phone in the ocean, put my hand down and grab a f***ing fish and take it out, is the answer that, oh, I never actually had a phone. I had a fish the whole time. Oh, let me call my mom. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Hello? No. It means my phone is down there and I grabbed a f***ing trout. All right?
We're getting like dangerously close to like fake news here in the podcast.
No, that's not true. So we
investigated a light shining from underneath and we saw photos, so evidence of the light shining from underneath the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we spent a lot of time trying to figure out what it is. And then they go down and pull out a light. And then everyone involved is like, nah, that's not what was really down there. That wasn't the light that we saw shining. It's like, all right, well, would you see any other light? See any other light? No.
Yeah, because they took it away on a truck. They took it away on a military truck. That's why you didn't see it. Listen, Kit, you don't have to talk to me about this case. You have to talk to the people of Carbondale, the believers in this case, who refer to themselves as the Carbondalians.
Mm-hmm.
Great little community name right there. This is a huge part of the community, a huge part of their history. The local hockey team are even called the Carbondale UFOs.
Nice, like that.
And they have this sick jersey that they play in. I genuinely want to buy us one of these for the studio.
That is pretty badass. Okay, green jersey and with a pretty awesome modern little design in the middle of a UFO and a tractor beam, and it says UFOs.
And actually, the UFO does look like it is hovering over a small body of water.
It does.
That's got to be the pond. Since then, as I said, there's been a whole festival about it. People have made documentaries. And at the end of one documentary, I even discovered that an artist named Dave White actually wrote a song called The Carbondale Cover-Up.
Oh, wow.
I haven't listened to this song yet, so I thought you and I could both listen to it for the first time here on the podcast.
Well, it's always a rare privilege when someone writes a song about a paranormal case.
Yeah.
You know, I won't say it usually pushes us any closer to a WS.
Yeah.
But it still puts us in the mindset of the locals. It's a cool thing.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, music can bring out a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
And who's to say that a really good song can't get us today to that double yes? So let's listen to The Carbondale Cover-Up by Dave White.
Was a November night in Carbondale, PA. A little old mining town, just a quiet little place. But on that Saturday night, a light came out of the sky.
This is pretty good.
It really is.
It was more than a lantern.
Hell yeah, brother.
Top secret information.
Right. The base is in.
Let's open the case back up. The Carbondale cover up.
Hell yeah, short and sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that was almost more like TV theme tune.
The Carbondale cover-up.
Yeah. The Carbondale cover-up is brought to you by...
Yeah, it does sound like that. It's almost like he didn't have enough time to fit in all of his thoughts, so he didn't even really form proper sentences. He just said, it was more than a lantern, top secret information, and then said, let's open it back up.
Yeah, I think he got the point across. I think that's lyricism.
Yeah, it's almost like bullet points. Wasn't just a lantern. What else do I need to say? Top secret information. You know, Google Operation Moonbeam.
Yeah.
And let's open it back up.
I like the idea that in a kind of Drake Kendrick feud style. I like the idea that someone in the CIA somewhere has been tasked with addressing the track.
Right.
You know, someone in the board meeting was like, well, we can't let this just stand.
Right, like a rapper's rivalry. They're like, you got to respond.
Yeah.
You got to respond.
And like a bit like Drake and Kendrick, some people are like, bro, I think it's really fine. I don't know if we need to. And the CIA is like, Drake, they're like, no, we need to. And so getting out the guitar, they're being like, it definitely was a lantern. For sure it was.
Yeah. Getting really like, I think it's like completely way too intense. He comes back with like way too much velocity. It's like an extra hard rap track, dissing his family, calling out his friends. You know, absolutely brutal stuff. All right, Kit, we have reached the end of today's investigation into the Carbondale UFO.
Huh.
Bit of a roller coaster. It's always a little disappointing when we get a possible explanation for a paranormal case, and it ain't that paranormal. Also a little disappointing when your key witness says they did it.
Yeah.
But then later before death, I want to remind everyone, said they didn't do it.
Love the deathbed confession. So, reconfession.
Yeah. So, I just want to, I want to hear from you. I want to know where your head's at in today's investigation. We have tons of
how
time.
How long you want me to talk for?
we have tons of time, by the way.
We can make this real short.
No, so don't feel like you have to rush or anything. You know, we could actually like go back and retell the original story.
I think it's quicker to say it's a no. Because...
Yikes.
The reasons you mentioned. But, you know, that's not to say there was not a really interesting story there. And as you say, fascinating that it's been taken so to heart by the community.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it doesn't pull in my heartstrings as an investigator. It doesn't pull in my strings of intrigue in my heart about this story that, you know, of course, you know, the three most important words to a paranormal investigator aren't I love you, they're flatbed truck. That's what I love to hear. Tarp.
Yeah.
If we had got to bring it on to one word, it's tarp. What's under the tarp?
Military Chinook helicopter. Those are the three words I like to hear.
Oh, lovely. It's like ASMR. That's what I want to hear. So that's really interesting.
9 foot gray. That's what I like too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Any more?
Sorry. Yeah, no, I keep interrupting.
But we do have to dial in on the facts of the matter, which was we had a number of witnesses of something maybe coming down.
Out of the sky. Pretty weird.
But no visual of a saucer. No visual of little guys, no visual of physical effects on the area around there.
Yeah.
And then when they do go down, whether you can debate that all day long, but someone goes down and pulls up a light. And
then one of the guys that saw it says they threw a light in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cold light of day. The truth is pretty clear. Kind of what happened.
The song is hypnotizing, but in the cold light of day.
The song does a good job, I tell you. But there is more evidence, weirdly, today to prove that this isn't paranormal than is.
Yeah, good amount of evidence.
Yeah, right.
In the wrong direction.
Exactly. So unfortunately, I'm sorry, Cubits Fitters, but despite your best intentions with all your scuba gear, it's going to be a no from me also this week.
Yikes.
That is a double no investigating the Carbondale UFO. And I think that's important that we give this case a no, because Kit, you and I, we get slandered online and made fun of that if you basically say anyone saw a saucer, that Rory and Kit will give it a yes on this podcast, that we have a bias for UFO stories and alien stories. So hey, let this serve as a reminder to you that we are professionals constantly. And even if it is a UFO case that at one point I was pretty keen on, we will still give it a no if the evidence is not there.
Yeah, because no one saw the saucer. If one person had seen the saucer, we'd be like, it's a yes, it's a double yes.
It's just bad when the whole mystery is a light in a pond and then a diver emerges with a light in the pond.
Yeah.
And the guy who witnessed it says, yeah, that makes sense because... yesterday I threw a light in the pond. It's like, all right, I think we're done here. I think all the UFO investigators that have flown in from out of town are packing up their bags at this point.
Yeah, Rory sometimes says it's a hard day for the skeptics. Well, today it's a hard day for the believers.
It really is, unfortunately. A hard day for the believers. But hey, a fun case anyway. Thank you so much,
Qubits Fitters for emailing in this case. I hope you can go back to work at your chocolate factory now. Yes. I don't know what your day job is. But if you have a case that you want us to investigate, please send it in to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. We are still accepting submissions, whether it's a case that it's something that happened to you or whether it's just one that you've read about online and you would like us to cover. Please email it in because we love covering listener submissions. We mentioned at the start of the podcast, we are going on tour to the great big US of A. Are we going close to Carbondale? Where did I say it was? Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania.
We're going to Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So relatively close.
I don't know how close that is, but it's the same state, right?
It's the same letter to start with.
P? So,
yeah, P. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. I assume they're all pretty close.
Pretty close to each other.
Yeah. Yes, please go pick up your tickets. We are so excited for that tour to come visit you guys. It's always a party when TPL are in town, so it's going to be an absolute blast. And of course, if you can't make it to tour, the best way to get engaged with the community outside of that is a little website called patreon.com/thisparanormallife. Over there, we have been releasing bonus content for God knows how many years now. Meaning if you sign up for just five measly dollars a month, you can get access to hundreds of extra episodes of this podcast. Maybe you've caught up. Maybe you just want to hear about the behind the scenes and all the cool extra pieces that go into making this podcast. That's the place to go. Patreon.com/thisparanormallife. It's the best way to support the show and ensure that we can keep investigating lanterns for many more years.
And I've said it before, the price of the Patreon sometimes varies a slight wee bit depending on whether you're accessing the Patreon app or if you're on an Apple device. So if you are on an Apple device, you can ensure you are just paying the same rate as everybody else if you go to the Patreon website, if you go on your computer and sign up and then check out the app. Or you can sign up in the app, but Apple sometimes changes the prices on the app. It's quite frustrating, but the website is the place to be to make sure you get everything for that low, low fair price.
It's great. You can get ad-free episodes where people kind of post and comment under those and the bonus episodes and the after parties. And there's a nice little community over there. We try to read and reply to every comment. So it's great. Check it out. And one of the cool rewards that you can get over there is a shout out at the very end of an episode of the podcast. That's what we're going to do right now. So thank you to Tyler Lyons. Tyler Lyons, you need to tie your lions up. Because I know when you were brought into the paranormal commune, we thought it was like a cool thing that you brought lions.
Yeah.
Like, sick, who needs watchdogs when we have lions? But we can't control the lions, and evidently you can't control the lions. So you need to tie your lions up.
Yeah, I do. Something pretty strong. I mean, cheese string isn't really going to cut it.
Yeah.
And twine isn't going to do it either. I think they can kind of chew through quite a lot, actually. So probably one of those big bike locks.
That would be nice. Just kind of around the neck or something like that.
But humane. Something humane.
Yeah, yeah. Kind. Please sort it out before they eat any more of our slaves. Thank you to
items.
Thank you to,
we don't call them that anymore.
Sorry,
in the commune.
What are we, servants?
Yes.
Ah, still sounds a bit wrong.
Yeah.
Team members like that. Interns.
Yeah.
Any more of our interns? Thank you also to Nico Longoria. Nico is only a week old.
1 week old.
1 week old.
Wow.
But suffers from a disease called Longoria, which kind of means your body is as long as an adult, even as a child.
Really?
Yeah, so even though Nico is essentially a baby.
They grow really fast.
Really fast, like a sea monkey.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
So, Nico, I assume you're going to keep growing until we have some sort of Attack on Titan type situation inside the commune where we have to train a group of soldiers to take you down.
In any case, you're not going to be able to understand or read this or listen to this for years.
Yeah.
Because you're 1 week old.
You're 1 week. You don't even understand why you're so long. It's very confusing and scary for you. So, Nico, I wish you the best. You truly are probably the first cryptid we've had in the paranormal commune, which is very exciting. Thank you also to Elizabeth Curl. Elizabeth Curl is my kind of girl. You know how people say, when they need to hear some tough information, it's, they say, tell it to me straight.
Yeah.
Elizabeth tells it to you with a bit of curl.
Curly. Give curly. It to me curly.
Give it to me curly, which is essentially a lie. It's a lie. So, you know, whenever we're talking to Elizabeth and I say, hey, Elizabeth, do the people in the commune like their kings? Give it to me curly.
Yeah.
And she's like, they love you guys. Honestly, things have never been better. Morale is so high. It's going really great. And I'm like, that's why we keep you around, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
It's really refreshing.
She just tells you the opposite of the truth. That's what curls are.
So thank you so much, Elizabeth.
It's not a lie. It's a curl.
It's a curl. Thank you also to Abby S. Abby S, obviously, just keeping her second name top secret there, classified, so we don't disclose her information. But of course, if you don't include it, Abby S, I just assume you are a snake.
Abyss.
Yeah, Abyss. You're just kind of hissing as your second name because you could only manage one human word before you went back into snake talk.
Abby the adder.
Yeah. Abby S. So Abby, hey, look, don't hide it. If you are a snake, we welcome snakes in the commune. Snake is actually how I've been described by my friends for most of my life. So you're among friends.
Yeah.
You know, you're with company.
Well, we've been doing a really great little, it's not really a test, more of a challenge, a fun little challenge for new members of the commune whenever they join, where we get Abby to kind of hang out at a tree.
And be like,
yo. And they're like, what's up? And she's like, bite the apple.
Yeah.
Bite the apple. And they're like, no. Kit and Rory said they were going to go get a uniform for me. And they said it was weird. The only thing they said was don't eat the apple.
Right.
Don't eat the apple. And Abby's like, it'll be fine. Eat the apple. And then they, 9 times out of 10, as we've learned, disappointingly, they eat the f***ing apple.
Yeah.
And how we find duds. That's how we find duds in the commune. So we it's really great. So thanks, Abby. So we brought that on early in the process of recruiting for the commune, and we can kind of weed out the apple eaters.
The twist is, if you don't eat the apple, you get kicked out. Because we want rule breakers, we want unconventional thinkers, and we want sinners. Those are the people that join the commune. And you better enjoy it, because that's the last piece of fresh fruit you're going to eat for a while once you get into the commune. And thank you finally today to Jessica Miller.
Jessie Mills is into messy thrills. We're talking anything from jumping off of a bungee cord with a bucket of mud on your head to kind of skydiving with a bucket of mud on your head to borderline, if you could imagine it, scuba dive with, you're not even going to guess the next bit.
Is it a bucket of mud on her head?
It's just like messy stuff.
I just think the bucket is maybe stuck. Has someone tried helping her?
She went off the bungee cord to try and like see if it would.
She keeps trying to get it off. Yeah. I don't think she's into, what'd you say, messy thrills? No, I think there's just a bucket stuck on her head.
I think messy thrills just rhymes with her name.
I think if you took it off, she'd be really happy and grateful. And now she could just live a normal life. I don't think she's into messy thrills.
This is
thrills.
Like when dogs like run around a circle over and over and over. It's like, haha, he's so silly. And then vets are like, he has a brain injury.
He's insane.
Yeah.
There's a worm.
They don't do this when they're happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Jessica's don't bungee jump if they're happy.
So Jessica, get yourself to the blacksmith. He can hopefully get that bucket off of your head. take it off. Thank you, Jessica, for supporting us on Patreon. Thank you, everyone that we shouted out today. Again, head on over to Patreon if you want your own shout out and you want to support the podcast. We really appreciate it. It's the best way to ensure we can keep doing this show for many, many, many years. My name is Rory. This guy's been Kit. We will, of course, be back with many more episodes on Patreon, after parties and bonus episodes. But of course, for a main episode of This Paranormal Life, you gotta wait till next Tuesday for a brand new Paranormal Tales.